This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. This is our review of The Green Knight. My name's Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome along then to this review of what's described as an American epic medieval fantasy.
Really?
Yeah. Written and directed by David Lowry.
Mike Lowry.
it's based on a poem, a 14th century poem called Sir Gawain.
Gawain.
Gawain and the Green Knight by Anonymous.
Anonymous.
So how are we supposed to believe that particular poem? Stars Deb Patel, Alicia Vikander, Joel Edgerton, Sarita Chaudhry, Sean Harris, and Ralph Ineson as the titular Green Knight?
He's titular.
Yeah. 130 minutes long. The budget was $15 million. It's taken $18.3 million at a COVID-affected box office. Wayne.
Really?
What is this bad boy about?
Okay, the Green Knight is about Deb Patel, who is a nobleman and the half-nephew of King Arthur. Yes, that King Arthur. And one day, a scary-looking dude called the Green Knight, who looks like Groot and is clearly some kind of demon or monster or some shit, turns up and says, if anyone can land a blow against me, that person will be rich and shit for a year, but by the end of that year, that person has to get struck down by the same blow and get fucked up. And then so Dev Patel volunteers to fight.
Gawain.
What's his name? Gawain, yes. Yeah. And this film is...
Gawain!
Inside joke, everyone. That's all my mom used to call me. So anyway, yes, this film is mostly about the end of that year and Gawain's quest to find the Green Knight and prove his honor and possibly meet his fate. That's the damn film.
Yeah, it's all about growing up, growing into your chivalry,
having real honor. Exactly. Yeah. Right. So
So before we get into this, we get it, right?
Well. We get it. I get it now. Let me just say...
you got it at the time, right? You understood what the film was going for.
Actually, I'll tell you this about the film, okay? I heard amazing things about this film.
Oh, high expectations.
Have you not? Like, a lot of people are talking about this film, right? And it's like, wow. And it seemed to be a sleeper.
It's the hope that kills you, Wayne.
It is the hope that kills you. I'm like Hawkeye. Don't give me hope. All right? So I heard a lot of things about it. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's check it out. So I will tell you, one, it's a really weird film. It's weird.
Yeah.
I think it's very weird.
100% true.
Okay. There's magic spells, ghosts, giants, talking animals, shit like that.
It's Arthurian legend, right?
Fantasy. Exactly. So it sounds like Lord of the Rings by just hearing that, but it isn't that at all. It's a very different, it's a drawn out character study is what I would say. It's, it's a much smaller film. I do say that it was filmed amazingly. I thought it was really, really good.
Yes.
The problem is, Paul, for the first act, I'm in. For the first act and a half, I'm in. And then I'm like, this motherfucker's taking a long time, and I'm going to need some fucking answers soon before you bore me right in the ass. And it's something different, but if I'm honest, it took me a while to get there, and frankly, I got bored. Paul, what did you think?
Before I get to what I think,
yeah,
Rotten Tomatoes has this as 88%.
See? Everyone's talking about this shit.
229 reviews, with an average rating of 8 out of 10, and according to Metacritic, it's 85
even
out of
higher on
based
Metacritic
on 49 critic scores. Now you know a film is a critical darling if Metacritic outrates Rotten Tomatoes.
Absolutely,
which almost never happens.
Right.
However, there's a thing called Cinema Score where audiences get polled when they come out of a film,
and which is always high.
Give it a rating of a grade of between A plus to F. This only scored C plus.
What happened here, Paul? Because that Cinema Score, if you're people walking out saying that shit, it's always high, right? It's always generally high. People are generally a bit more complimentary than if you catch them alone in their room in front of their computer.
Well, I think what you've just described is exactly the average cinema goer's experience. I was bored.
I was bored too.
This film is, as you said, it is lensed beautifully.
Yes.
There are so many gorgeous shots. There are so many moments where it's like, wow, look
excellent
at that.
Excellent cinematography.
There's that one shot when he's right along the edge of the battle.
Dude, how good is that?
Yeah,
how good is that?
Barry Keoghan's sort of scavenger kid comes up or young man comes up and they're having that whole dialogue and
shot, bro.
Brilliant.
And a horse in there. You imagine they fucked that up?
Yeah. There's other shots where like he's walking along this rocky sort of cracked plane and the camera just sort of spins on its axis and is now upside down.
Absolutely beautiful.
The wide lens and, you know, I don't have the technical terminology here to help you out with this, so go talk to Billy from We Watched a Thing if you want to get the actual how the hell this film was filmed. But it looks amazing.
And right? Also
the lighting
beautiful. Jesus. The things they tried worked. There's one scene where Dev Patel is riding on a horse away from his
Gawain.
Where it is still Dev Patel, motherfucker. They didn't know what I'm talking about. No, but he's riding away from the town on his quest on the horse, right? Very long, very, like, it's just a racking back sort of dolly shot, I guess, and it's just following the horse,
as
right?
As he leaves.
As he leaves. Right. And then, you know, there's a kid that he passes, and then there's sheep and shit that come past. And I'm sitting there going, this is a really, really long shot. And I'm sitting there going, but it is beautiful, and I don't mind sitting here and watching the background disappear and how nicely it's filmed. So all of that works, which is a huge thing for a film. And you can easily fuck up.
Very interesting things, like mixing matte paintings in with the in-camera effects type of stuff, and it's seamless. It looks really good. The knight himself, the Green Knight, looks incredible.
Really good.
Just
and works as well as a character. Like, rawr, rawr, rawr. Oh, yep. That's good.
Like how foreboding and terrifying he is. Absolutely. So that the whole knights won't, the rest of the round table won't pull out their swords to...
That's right. And King Arthur actually gives Gawain Excalibur. And
but none of that's made a big deal of. Even Merlin's in the background in these scenes.
And you can't... I don't think anyone even says it. If some podcaster or whatever doesn't tell you that this is about King Arthur, you would know. The movie does not tell you. I had to read that shit. So, you know. And so that's... what did you think of the title cards that came up? The odd title cards?
They annoyed the shit out of me.
Okay, because I was sitting there looking at it going... Boom, 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 boom,
I didn't realise what it was saying until the very end of the film.
Because it's in the old...
Finally, the title card pops up. The Green Knight. I'm like, oh, so it's Sir Gawain and the... And they did that like 93 different fonts.
I was sitting there looking at it going, you know what? That is a way to go, is what I thought in my head. I'm like, this is interesting. You don't usually see this.
True. It's interesting. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
However, and you've already perfectly summarized it, and here's the rub. That same tracking shot coming out of the city.
Yep.
The kids, Gawain, you're a hero, blah, blah, blah. It's too long. Absolutely zero need for it. This whole film is too long.
Yes.
It is boring as batshit.
2+ hours, am I right?
It's 2 hours, 10 minutes.
2 hours, 10 minutes.
There's enough content, as far as I'm concerned.
90
in this
minutes.
Film. Barely.
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 70 minutes.
Someone described this as an epic fantasy. Fuck you, it's epic. It's so small in scope, there's nothing going on.
It's a poem. It's a fucking poem.
It's not an epic.
Exactly.
An epic is big battles.
Exactly. Generations of people.
Exactly. Spread over a huge amount of time or world-shaking events.
No, it's not an epic.
It's about one person's journey towards being chivalrous and honor.
Yes.
That's all this film is.
And it's a comment really on how he's not that person. That's really what it is.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I'm just going to... We'll stop there. Let's just hit the spoiler button because we're playing around with spoilers and we really need to deconstruct the end of the film as
well.
Okay,
let's do it.
So yeah, there you are. Overall, I'm completely middling on this film. It's not a good film by my... As a piece of entertainment, it's not good, in my opinion. As a film, sure, it's got some great, great bits to it. But overall, I didn't really enjoy myself.
Yeah, it didn't grab me, and I'm a guy who wanted to get grabbed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was ready to like this film always. I was ready to always that. It's always out, and it's always available. So,
always ready to get grabbed.
Right, just chomp on it. So, yeah, so agree.
It's a grab, not munched on. All right, well...
Ironically, I'm more particular about that. Go on, go on.
Well, without any further ado, let's get into spoilers.
You can't handle the truth!
And the truth is that the critics love the shit out of this, but the audience is not.
What's going on here, Paul? How can this be so disparate?
I just think what we've just described. It's not an enjoyable film.
But then why does a critic like it? Surely a critic must be entertained.
Well, I think the critic goes for much more deeper things than the average cinema. The average cinema goes, as you have often said, to be entertained,
absolutely,
to enjoy themselves.
To be engaged.
Whereas, if you look beneath the surface, I see there is a lot going on in this movie. Absolutely, right? But I was bored.
Yeah.
I was so, so bored.
You know what the problem is? Like I said, I love the first hour or so, but it wasn't making a whole lot of sense the whole time, right? And in the fact, the way that it... For instance, okay, let's talk about this. So, Alicia Vikander plays his Ho-Ho Knight, like his initial...
lover.
Yes.
And then the lady of...
The same actress.
Yeah.
Joel Edgerton's. So I'm sitting there going, oh, is that the same girl? Because you know what? It is the same girl. It turns out it's supposed to be someone who she happens to resemble the woman that he left back in. It's not supposed to be the same girl.
It's not the same girl. Of course not.
Yeah, but it's fucking... Then don't use the same... What?
I agree.
The idea here that we... I think the idea here, and this is maybe why the critics like it, is that Gawain is an unreliable narrator. You're seeing it through his eyes, so maybe the girl that he finds attractive is the same kind of girl, resembles the other girl who he knocked up back in the... Right? Okay. And also maybe...
He hasn't knocked her up yet, has he?
No, he hadn't. But the point is he found her attractive, so now all girls look that... I mean, I'm just guessing here. I'm just guessing, all right? And then, you know, when he goes and he finds that house and there's that ghost woman in there, all right? And then she's like, find my head in here. And he's like...
What is it with the decapitated heads in this fucking movie?
Yeah, I know. It's like hereditary. No, but he says, you know, she goes, can you go in the fucking water and find my head? And he's like, what will you give me? She's like, how can you ask me that? Why would you ask me that?
That's not chivalrous.
She shames him, right? So now the idea is, okay, Dev Chappelle is actually not a chivalrous person. He even comes in his hand.
But we know that from the way he's behaving early in the film. He's laying with hookers.
Yeah. You know. Now, I thought that this was the idea. Yeah, you're right, he's laying with ho-hos. And this is the thing, right? I thought initially this film is about, because usually when you have like an epic about the medieval times, it's all people shitting in their hands and fucking some pestilence and it's all peasants and serfs.
I'm not sure what epics you're watching.
No, but it's always like, you're like Robin Hood. People are always like fucked up and shit because it's medieval times. Right. Unless you're rich, you ain't got time for no hoes or like, you know, feasts or Christmas. So the fact that it's operating and focusing on that, that's at least to me almost a different spin already. But then, yes, like you said, he lives the good life. He goes to the king's place, well, whatever. Sits beside the king. And he's like, oh, okay. And then, well, you know, perhaps you will have stories to tell of being a knight. So he's chasing honor, yes, knighthood, things like that, right?
But he's clearly not living up to it.
But he's not. And that's why he said, I'll fucking fight you because here's a quick way to fucking honor.
Now, I want to be very clear here.
Please.
And I get it at one level. The brashness of youth. The exuberance of the moment.
Right.
The knight clearly says, however you strike me,
yes,
I will strike you.
Be it a scratch on the cheek or whatever, right?
So he should chooses be just, to lop off his
I
head?
I know! Just go up, right? And slap him in the face with your dick. Then it's the first blow, and all you get a year from now is a Wayne dick in the hello face. That's all. Or scratch his cheek, you know what I mean? Why you lop his head off? And I'll tell you why. Because that was the cool thing to do in front of the round table.
But you have to be a fuck. Because, okay, I get it. On one level, if I lop this dude's head off, there ain't no way I have to answer for this a year from now. But the way it happens, it's not like he's in bloodlust and he gets cut three times himself.
That's right. Before and then
he's
like, ah,
I'm
boom,
so angry, bam. He's just, the knight just bends down in front of him.
Yeah.
And he should have just tapped him on the shoulder.
Now, exactly. No, he should have, yeah, she said, well, blow. A blow is anything, right?
Yes.
So, right.
Just tap on the shoulder.
Tap on the shoulder, dick in the face, anything, right? Now, and now this is what I get here. So, it's you'd know him from the movie, although, frankly, I had to sort of think about it. During this the whole Green Knight thing, that Green Knight was summoned by his mother, yes, who's downstairs and a bit of a witch,
the music,
right?
Yep, the music, the magic.
So the idea here, I think, is that the mother recognizes the boy is not pious and he's not fucking and he gets like ho-hos and all that sort of thing. So she wants him to be an honorable man. So she concocts the Green Knight to turn up, say, what up?
She summons him.
She summons him.
Yep.
Then if she knew somehow that he was going to lop his head off and then maybe get lopped his head off later on in a year, is she okay with her boy dying just so he can be honorable for a year?
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's what I don't really understand. Like, did she summon this obviously to make a man of him, and obviously it was the magic infuses the room and maybe it stops any of the other knights from challenging
first.
There
must have been
first,
something like that.
And makes Arthur hand Excalibur over to Gawain to do the fight.
Yes.
All that stuff seems to be apparent, right?
Yeah.
And maybe even that's what softens Arthur's perspective of his nephew.
Because he knows it's a setup?
Well, no. The magic's infusing him.
Okay.
And he hasn't had much to do with Gawain up until that point.
Well, that would explain why he all of a sudden calls him over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all that makes sense to me.
That's fine.
But did the mum not allow for, or then she did allow for it and go, okay, well, here's this sash. It will protect you. No harm can befall you while you're wearing this sash. Which he then loses to the robbers in that one-shot scene, right?
Yeah, but there's... Yeah, go on.
So... Is that why she never got too perturbed by the fact that, well, my son's now being sent to get his head cut off because I've got this magic sash that will protect him?
That's an excellent point. But then that still only protects him for 1 year. Do you know what I mean? Unless she says, but that's the thing, though.
She said, no harm will befall you while you're wearing this sash.
Well, get this, right? When the robbers grab him and take away the sash, then he gets another one from the Elitcher Vikander lookalike.
Which I don't really understand.
No, that's weird because I'm like, okay, so is this one enchanted? I don't know. You know, and it was, apparently, because it's how it's played towards the end, right? But then is that the mother just making sure that he gets his sash replayed by somehow...
Well, there's that blindfolded old woman in the room with him who they never reference or refer to.
Who is really his mother because it's the same...
his mother?
Well, it must be because she wore the same blindfold at the very beginning. Yeah. But again, this is not clear and maybe the critics like the fact that this is ambiguous and you've got to... I don't like it.
Well, speaking of ambiguity, the end.
All right.
So we get this...
Talk about the end, Paul. What happens at the end?
So he fronts up to the knight. Knight wakes up after a night.
Are you here to receive the blow?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And he flinches a couple of times.
Yep, he just puts his head down. He's going to get slapped off by the knife. You flinch, sir. Oh, yep. I'm sorry. And he fucks off.
Well, not before he has a vision of his future.
Right, which I think is the fucking off.
And then has his vision. No, you're right.
Well, he fucks off, and I think that's the vision. Yeah, he goes away, and he sees, and he becomes a bad king.
He's a shit king, and his son gets killed in battle.
So
basically, all the things. He's not honorable. He's not chivalrous.
Buys the baby off the hooker.
Leaves Alicia Vikander's prostitute character.
Yep, just
in
fucks
the dust,
her
so
off, pays her, that's it. And everyone hates him. So he doesn't like it and eventually.
And so he steals himself and says, okay, takes the sash off and says, all right.
And his head just falls off.
And then the knight basically praises him for his honor. So he achieves what he's looking for. You've leveled up. And now off with your head. Boom.
Now,
title card, the Green Knight.
All right, talk to me.
Did you see the post-credit sequence?
I did not. What? There's a post-credit sequence?
Yeah.
Let me dial that up right now.
Basically, it's very simple. It's at the very end of the credits. It's literally the credits playing over the top of it. A little female child.
Yeah.
Playing with a crown. And you can read this a number of different ways. Is that Gawain's daughter in the future? Has he been allowed to live?
And by being reincarnated to her? Oh, I see.
Did the knight not lob his head off?
Yes. There's kind of two or three ways you could get this. One, the knight lobs his head off, and now he's had his honor.
Yep.
That's it. That's the end of the story. Two, the knight let him go. Off with your head. But he didn't swing anything. We didn't see anything. He might say, off with your head. Like, fuck off. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's it. You're done.
Yeah.
You've now attained your honor that you were meant to attain, and I will let you live on that basis.
And so there's a baby with playing with the crown that he was wearing.
Because in that vision, he has a female child at the very end of the vision, doesn't he? And which, by the way, remarkable for the fact there's no dialogue in what's a 15-minute sequence?
Yeah.
It's well made. Yes, it's very well made.
Yeah.
It's not very well written.
No, that's what it is. I actually think that, given the fact that the whole thing happened as a result of his mother who cares for him enough to give him a sash and all that sort of shit, that he did let him live. Because what else would they show a baby at the end?
I think it's entirely arguable, interpretable either way, and both ways are correct. And David Lowery has literally said, well, I know this, the original cut had his head been cut off and that's the end of the film. And that's an A24 film. And A24 films, like Hereditary, are known for their downer endings.
Yes.
So but then they decide to remove that and keep it ambiguous. So in the original, even though in the poem, Gawain lives.
Does he?
Yep. In this adaptation, they were going to kill him.
Okay.
So take your cue from there.
Well, can I ask you this then? Why does Joel Edgerton kiss him?
I don't know.
I think what happened is, I was just thinking about this as well. He says, okay, anything I hunt, I will give you for your journey.
Games in this era were fucked.
Yeah.
If you strike me 1 year from now, I will strike you exactly the same way. You can take whatever you want from my house.
Exactly, but anything that you get in the house, you have to give me.
Trade it back to you for anything I find on my hunt.
Now, what? Yes. That's what I think happened here.
That's a dumb game, sir. I'm not playing it.
It's a shit game. But I think the reason Joel Edgerton kissed him is because the thing he got at the house was a kiss from his wife.
We got more than a kiss. He got jerked off, didn't he?
I thought he jerked off. Did she jerk him off or he jerked her?
I don't know. The camera's not.
He blew his beans all over that thing. And I'm like, yeah, put that around your waist now, mate. But but she said, you are no knight to say that. A knight wouldn't jerk off on my fucking robe. You know what I mean? So I think,
I'm pretty sure a lady wouldn't be flirting trying to get into his pants the whole time either.
Do you think that he blew his beans?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was like a real, like, oh, Jesus, that's a big cum shot that they just showed there. I'm like, oh, damn. But the...
Highlight of Wayne's film.
No, I didn't expect it. I'm like, ew, you don't usually see cum on material. Anyway,
not without thine own
two
eyes.
You see it on a face. in the movies, I mean. Yeah, but then I think that was... He gave Joel Edgerton the kiss that he got from the woman. I think that's why he kissed him. So... You know,
does he then have to jerk off to George?
That's the thing. Where do you stop? It's like, do I have to come on your horse now? What's going on? You know, so yeah. Again, a bit too loose for my liking.
Well,
I'm going to need...
How about this?
What?
How does the ghost of the girl get the axe back from...
Yeah, Stella? All of a sudden it's been given back to him. Yes.
How do the fucking giants have to do with any fucking thing?
Okay, now the giants. Let's talk about the giants because that is the one scene that went, whoa, that looks freaky. And apparently the idea that he said to one of the giants, would you let us carry us on your shoulder, is like, you lazy cunt. You know what I mean? Like, the idea is this is a man without honor.
If not for the fox, the giant would have killed him at that point.
Exactly. And I love the fox, by the way. The fox is my favorite thing about it. He had a fox friend who followed him around, and it actually looked pretty good until I realized it was CGI-ish. But
it was only after the fox began talking I realized it wasn't real.
Exactly. It wasn't a real fox. Very dark film, don't you notice? It was like very dark to turn up the brightness.
Well, no, it was fine. Especially as I alluded earlier on in the review, I thought the lighting changes, like when the Green Knight came, then there was a green sort of pall over the whole film after that. Clever.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, it's a beautiful looking film.
I've got nothing more to say. I think we've made the point very powerfully.
Fair enough.
Technically, what a film. Narratively, oh my God.
Yes, which is an odd hybrid, right? Mm-hmm. You don't come across these often, still I don't recommend it.
All right, so what do you give it?
How about 58?
Yeah, it's better than me.
Yeah?
Yep. I originally gave this 48, but it stuck in my memory, and I thought about it a bit more, So I'll go as high as a 52.
52? Yep. That's not bad.
I was really, really bored.
Yeah, it's an odd recommendation, isn't it? It's like if you really like art house films and you have about 4 hours figuratively to spare.
I will never watch this again.
No, I'll never watch it again.
Not in a million years.
No way.
Life's too short.
No. But again, I'm kind of glad I know what it is now because I heard so much about it. So there you go. We can say that about it, which is not much.
There we are. That's our review of The Green Knight as we once again ensure that no one who's got any cinematic taste will listen to us. But thank you so much for joining us today. What did you think of The Green Knight? Are you a big fan? Are you not? Let us know via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show via Podbean, where we host, and check out the Facebook listener community for discussion, maybe about this film or indeed lots of other things that are going on in media, film and TV wise. Finally, ccradio.com.au for the awesome crew that's Comic Confidential, Troy and
Cade.
But no, I was trying to work out what order to put them in. But sure, Cade, Rachel and Amy.
Rachel and Amy.
And then Believe just for Cade, because no one else believes enough to be on that show.
Oh, nice one. Nice one. That's hard.
And that's it for me. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
I fart in your general direction.
From a cutscene from that film. We'll catch you next time.